Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13, if you have your Bibles, you'll take them, follow along with me. Again, we welcome you and appreciate so much you being here today and pray that you will receive a blessing by being in here in the services with us today. I'm going to speak to you today on the subject of a turn in the right direction. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter number 13, verses 1 through 8 in just a moment and sharing something with you that I hope will be a blessing. I'll say from the outset, this is probably not one of the most popular messages that I will ever preach, but I tell you today, God is called me to preach the Word of God, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, and that's exactly what I intend to do. And I'm grateful today for the privilege that I have to come and stand before you and share the Word of God with you. Some years ago, and these are quite interesting, there was a late George Gallup Sr. did a nationwide poll, and he discovered one of the most bewildering paradoxes that you'd ever find. He discovered that religious interest is growing in unprecedented rates. And we do see people today, their religious interest is growing. There's things that the people have in churches and whatever. But he said the problem is, so is their immoral behavior. Gallup poll revealed that there's little difference between those who go to church and those who don't go to church. He said what he discovered, that many people, both inside and out the church, discovered exactly what they have really deep down in their heart. He said basically from what he found out, that there's very little difference with the people that go to church that don't go to church. In fact, people that go to church, he said, church members are just as prone to lie, steal, and to commit all types of sin as the people who are not affiliated with the church. The question you would say, well, preacher, why is that? I tell you, the only thing I can think, the marked difference between the people of God and those who claim to be associated with the Lord, why there's a difference and why there's not much difference, I think it all boils down to one word, and you don't hear it very often anymore, but it's a word called repent. And if you have your Bibles, look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 13, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And he spake unto them a parable, also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. He cut it down. Why cumbers it the ground? He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, I do pray now that you'd anoint my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words, the wisdom, the help that I need to declare this message in a way that would be pleasing to thee. And Father, we just thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. You know, the word repent has often become somewhat of a joke with people. I remember back in the years past, I remember how people would rent a billboard and they would say, repent, today is the day of salvation or whatever. I remember as a young kid when things probably did not mean as much to me as they should have. I remember I would see that and kind of sneer. I mentioned one night being in the emergency room of the hospital as a young man involved in a car accident, and there was some man laying on a stretcher, and everybody that walked by the up and down the hall, he was crying out and screaming to them to repent. People was over in the corner, the nurses and people around him was laughing at him. They thought he was seen to be a laughing stock or a joke. And even today, our cartoonists, they like to make little jokes, and they'll show some guy and they'll say, repent now. I want to tell you today, repentance is a very good word, and it's a word that needs to be taken very seriously. And I believe today the reason that the poll produced what it did, and again, I'm just telling you what the poll produced, and I'm telling you what the Word of God says. So again, it's important that we understand that he made some very powerful statements. Twice he said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall in law all likewise perish. Now the statement is very powerful, and we need to listen to what it means. It means literally this, that the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus means absolutely nothing if we do not repent of our sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It'll mean something to those who do, but the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse the sinner unless the sinner is willing to repent of his sin. It doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't matter how well you are. Jesus said, except you repent, ye all will likewise perish. Without repentance, and I want you to understand that. There's some people today, there's a group and someone that's come along and said that, you know, repentance is not necessary. I tell you today, repentance is necessary because it's in the Bible. And we need to understand today, this is not, we tell you, well, this is easy believism. You know, just pray the prayer and God saves you. No, the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let me give you an illustration today. You take a counterfeit $100 bill, and if you put it into circulation, it may get past some hands before it is discovered. And that counterfeit $100 bill, it can buy groceries, it can buy medicine. Why, it can even be brought to church and put in the offering plate. It may even go to the mission field to send a missionary around. But one day, that counterfeit $100 bill is going to come into the hands of a banker or somebody that has an idea of what that really is holding. And when he finds out that it's counterfeit, it's going to be taken out of circulation and destroyed. You say, what does that have to do with us? Well, I believe today that there's many people that are counterfeit Christians, and they're doing good. They appear to be good. They're involved in the work, and they're doing things that look and appear to be good. But you can do good things, but still not be saved and repented of your sin and what you do. I'll be honest with you today, the longer I pastor, the more I'm convinced that there's not as many people saved as saved they are. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, and I pray today that everybody in this building is safe and secure, repented of your sins and going to heaven. But the Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and the narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And I know what my Savior said. He said, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The Bible said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and out of thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I guess the reason we don't hear repentance too much is because it's not real popular. In fact, people don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. But friend, I believe when a person gets saved, there ought to be a change that comes about in their life. I believe there ought to be a change in the way we live, the way we talk, the way we act, and the things we do. And it ought to be evident to those around about us that we have had something transform our lives and change us to the place of repentance. And so this morning, I want to share with you for just a few minutes a turn in the right direction, and I want to give you some steps to take if you want to know that you're saved, and if you want to go to heaven when you leave this world. I want you to first of all understand that we must accept the fact of repentance. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I tell you today, he said, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink of the water of life freely, and he'll never thirst again. In fact, the theme of repentance is found some 959 times in God's Word. It is the call of the Old Testament. It's the call of the Old Testament. It's the command of the New Testament. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. The Bible made repentance clear, and I want you to understand today, I didn't make this up. This is from the Bible. The very first sermon that Jesus preached was the sermon on repentance. He said in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first time Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, they echoed his message in Mark 6:12. And they went out and they preached that men should repent. In the first Christian sermon preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When Paul stood and preached on Mars Hill, he said in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God's winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't make this up. This is what the Bible said. This is what has been preached through the ages. And it's still the only thing that's going to get a person to heaven is them repenting of their sin. Now, if repentance is really that important, we need to understand what exactly repentance is. Some people today maybe don't understand that. Maybe it's a word that's often misused or misunderstood. But repentance is composed in several statements that I want to give a little bit of comment about each one. First of all, repentance involves the conviction of sin, but it's more than just the conviction of sin. You cannot repent until you've been convicted of your sin, but you can be convicted of your sin and not repent. And there's people today that may come to the house of God, they may hear the word of God, and they may get convicted of their sin. In fact, I venture to say there's been times when I've preached that I've looked out during the invitation and I've seen people standing behind pews, grabbing hold of that pew, and honestly, if you went and checked after, you might see a little indention in the back of the pew where they were holding on rather than letting go and letting God have his way. I would submit to you that person probably came under deep conviction. They probably begin to realize, and by the way, I tell you today, what an awful thought to think today if you died you would not go to heaven. But yet a person would stand, hear the word of God, be convicted of their sin, but if they don't come to the point of repenting of their sin and turning away from it, then the repentance has not meant a thing to them. Repentance involves the conviction of sin, but it's not just the conviction of the sin, it's repenting of your sin. Repentance involves the confession of sin, but it's more than confession. The Bible is full of people that admitted they sinned, but they just didn't repent. Pharaoh told Moses on numerous occasions, "I have sinned." Judas, who betrayed the Lord to the Pharisees, said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood," did not repent. In fact, many people confess not because they want to repent, but simply because they got caught. They're not sorry for what they did. They have no remorse and they have no regret. In fact, I know people today that have lived in sin and they got caught and all of a sudden, buddy, they're broke down and they're crying and they're weeping and they're saying, "Oh, I'm repenting and I'm sorry and I hate it." No, most of the time they're just sorry they got caught. Real repentance comes before you get caught. It comes when you're involved in the very act of doing that which you know that you should not do, being convicted of it and understanding. Once King Frederick II of the 18th century King of Prussia was visiting a prison in Berlin. He was going through all the prisoners in the back, and he was asking them as he went through. He was talking to them, but all of them was busy about trying to tell them why they were innocent. Isn't it amazing? Everybody, when they get in trouble, they always want to tell you how innocent they are. So they were telling the king as he come by, "I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I shouldn't be here. I was framed. I was in the wrong place. Somebody did. I didn't do this." He saw a gentleman sitting in the corner, and he went to him, and he said, "Sir," he said, "what are you in here for?" He said, "I'm in here for robbery." He said, "You're in here for robbery." He said, "Well, do you deserve to be here?" And he said, "Oh, yes, sir." He said, I robbed and I deserve to be here." The king turned to the keeper of the jail and he said, "Release this man right now." He said, "I don't want him to corrupt all these innocent men that are in here, so get him out of here." Friend, today I'm grateful that there was one that had some importance in his life of doing what is right. Repentance involves contrition over sin, but it's more than contrition. The word contrition is a good biblical word. It means to be crushed. It carries the idea of being broken over something. You know, today, there's just simply no brokenness over sin anymore. We live in a society today which almost has gotten to the point to where the church is just like, as the Gallup poll said, has become just like the rest of the world. We think nothing about what people are doing and how they're doing it, and we just really condone it and go right along with it. And yet, there ought to be a brokenness like we've never seen before. I tell you, some of you folks here today have been saved a long time. And it ought to break our hearts to see people that have no sense of thought of the sin that they're committing and the consequences that it brings with it. In 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly," listen to me, "godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh to death." Could I tell you today, an alcoholic may be sorry for the way that he treated his wife when he was drunk, but if he continues to get drunk, he's not repented. A husband may be sorry that he was unfaithful to his wife. He can cry buckets of tears and tell her how sorry he is, but he's really not repented until he stops cheating on her and going in the opposite direction. And I could name any sin. And I believe today that all of us are sinners. And I know today, even if you're saved, we can sin. And I know today, even if we do sin, that we do have an advocate with the Father, we can get forgiveness. But I believe today that if we're saved with the grace of God, there's a difference that'll be in our life. That'll not be a continual sinning, but there'll be something that'll change us, and we'll be willing to confess the sin and get it right when we do exactly what we should not. I remind you, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall always likewise perish. So accept the fact, if you're going to heaven, you got to repent. Have you repented? That's the question today. Second of all, apply the force of repentance. Now today, I probably haven't done too good a job educating you, but I was trying to tell you what repentance is. But repentance, we could stop and go home now. But listen, just knowing what repentance is not going to get you to heaven. Repentance means turning away from your sin and going in the direction that God would have you to go. Applying repentance in your life. The word repent means literally to change your mind. What else repentance is? It's a change of mind that results in the change of one's life. Repentance means not only being broken over your sin, but being broken from your sin. It doesn't result in remorse that makes you feel sorry for your sin. It doesn't just result in reformation, which you try to stay away from your sin. It results in regeneration, where you're born again by the grace of God and your life is changed. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But I tell you today, it seems almost as everybody very flagrantly walks around, oh, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I have assurance I'm saved. And as much as I want to tell you today that salvation is as simple as repenting of your sin and praying and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that prayer is not what saves you. It's what takes place in your heart when you give your heart to Jesus to turn from the sin in your life and go in the direction that He would have you to go. First of all, you need to say to your holy God, I am a sinner. I tell you, I don't very often, but I run into people occasionally that have a problem realizing they're a sinner. You probably know some of them too. They never do anything wrong. They're always right, and they've never sinned. But I got news for you. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must come to the point where we realize the first stage is to say, I'm a sinner. And I tell you today, I am a sinner. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Second of all, come to the place where I'm not only a sinner, but I'm sorry for my sin. Quite frankly, many people get to the second stage. They admit they're sorry for their sin, but again, let's be sure what they're sorry for. Are they sorry that they got caught or not? Applying the force of repentance is of great importance in your life. And so we see here, he said, I'm a sinner and I am sorry for my sin. The third stage is where the sinner comes into the place where they say, I'm willing to turn away from my sin. Now, understanding there are many people who say they want to do it. They just never actually do it. True repentance. What does the Bible say? It said, you shall know them by their fruit. You should know, in fact, the illustration that's given in our passage of Scripture today is about a fig tree that don't produce any fruit. And if it don't produce any fruit, what good is it? It's of no value. And friend, if we don't produce fruit in our life, we need to do an about face. We need to understand the importance of what we do. I was reading, and I didn't know, but there's a place in Canada called Wabash. They say it's 7 or 8 hours out in the middle of nowhere. Up to years ago, there was only one way to get in there, and it was by plane, but they finally built one road that went straight to it. And if you want to get on that road for 7 or 8 hours, you can get to this little town called Wabash in Labrador, Canada. But when you get there, if you want to leave, other than flying out, you got to go back the same road. I want to remind you today, there's only one road to Jesus Christ. That's through the grace of God, understanding who we are and what He's done in order that we might put our faith and trust in Him. I'm absolutely convinced today that people, more than we would admit, will not face the importance of sin in their life and do something about it. Their hope of salvation is in a prayer they prayed as a 4-year-old. And again, please don't understand, I believe 4-year-olds can get saved. I believe 10-year-olds can get saved. I believe 100. I saw a man this week, probably in his 80s, get saved in a revival over faith. I tell you, I rejoice that I don't care who they are. If they want to get saved, they can get saved. But I tell you what, be sure that you understand what salvation really involves It involves repentance. I want to ask you a couple of questions today. Are you truly and radically different from what you were when you got saved? Can you say that? I mean, is there something that really changed your life? Do you know you're different? But better that, do the people around you know you're different? Can they see something in your life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ? If your religion has not changed your life on the inside, you'd better change religions, because when you get salvation, it changes you inside and out to help you be what you need to be. That's why the New Testament never tells us to hang on to our assurance of salvation or something that happened in the distant past. The Bible tells us to consider our salvation. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. In 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I tell you what is true about a lot of church members and people in the world. They want to experience God's forgiveness, but they don't want to change their ways. They don't want to repent. They don't want to live for God. They don't want to sacrifice. You know, what we need to understand is kind of like the little boy that mama got him ready for Sunday school one Sunday morning, had on his tie and his shirt and dress clothes, and she went to get ready. And when she come back, she called him from inside, outside, and he came in, and he was muddy from head to toe. She said, "What in the world have you done?" He said, "I just been playing." He said, "Mama, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" And she said, "What do you mean forgive you? I told you we were going to Sunday school and whatever." And she kept on, kind of dressed him down a little bit. She said, "Now get there and change clothes." He said, "I don't want to change clothes." She said, "What do you mean you don't want to change clothes?" He said, "I don't want to change clothes." He said, "I want you to forgive me, but I want to remain dirty." And I tell you, that's about the way a lot of people are today. "Lord, I want you to forgive me. Forgive me my sins. But now don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to clean up my life. Don't ask me to be any different. That's what I want. I want forgiveness, but I don't want to clean up." It's where a lot of people stop with Jesus Christ. Stop and think about it. Why is it that most members on the church roll never attend? Let me tell you something. We could get our roll book out. In fact, this morning Linda came by my office and said, "I want to sit down with you. We need to go through some names here and see if you remember these people." I said, "I don't know if I would or not. I hope I do. I've been here 32 years. We've seen a lot come and a lot go. But you know, man, I tell you what, we'd be busting at the seams if we had everybody that had ever come through here. I'm not standing here today saying everybody that came through here wasn't saved, okay? Don't go out of here saying that. But I'm simply saying when there's a change, you'll want to do right. You'll want to go to church. Why is it that 50% of church members not only rob God but give absolutely nothing to the church? It's because they've never repented. You see, giving is something people don't like to hear, don't like to talk about. But I tell you, that's the greatest privilege God ever gave me. That's my chance to give back just a little bit of what He's given to me. And I tell you, I don't give grudgingly. I give with a cheerful heart. And I tell you today, I'm sure I don't give as much as some. And I'm sure that I'm probably not, you know, maybe the others have given more. But I can tell you this, I know the importance of giving God what belongs to Him. Why is it that a lot of church members tell the same jokes, live the same life as the average non-church member? It may be because they've never repented. And if they haven't, I hope they'll be convicted and understand the importance of doing it. I remember years ago, I assisted pastor down in Bradenton, Florida, Sarah Bay Baptist Church, and I remember hearing this story. I think it happened back in the 70s. But there was a fellow by the name of Jack Eckerd. He owned Eckerd's drugstores all over the United States. Jack Eckerd got saved somewhere back down the road, back in the 70s, I guess. He got saved and he born again, and he had 1,500 drugstores. And one day he walked in the drugstore and he saw Playboy and Penthouse behind the counter. He immediately fired off a memo to every manager of every store. And he said, "You get that junk out of there, we will never sell it again." Many of the managers began to call and said, "But you don't understand, this is a big money-making thing for us. We turn a lot of revenue there." He said, "I don't care how much revenue you turn. We will not sell that in our stores anymore. And I tell you today, you know what happened to Jack Eckerd? He didn't just pray a prayer. Brother, he repented of his sin and done what's right. You know what? Some people don't get saved because they're afraid of cleaning up their life. They don't want to repent because they know that it might mean they have to make a bold stand. Yes, it might even mean that you have to give up some money. It might even mean that you have to lay aside something. But Jack Eckerd was determined to try to live for God and be faithful to God and to serve God. And yet today people think nothing about it by supplying the world with all the things that destroy them. And yet we call ourselves Christians, but the Bible says, except you repent, you likewise perish. And then thirdly and lastly, appropriate the fruit of repentance. Jesus followed his warning about repentance by telling his listeners about this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbers it the ground? And he answered, said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. The parable here is to have to do with Jesus. It has to do with the matter of repentance. True repentance bears fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. This is when you get saved and repent, it'll get in your hands, it'll get in your feet, it'll get in your eyes, it'll get in your lives. Repentance is not just knowing about sin and weeping over it, it's determined to do something about it. Friend, today God expects us to be different in our life. I've seen it happen many times. I know people today that I've seen get saved, and I tell you, a transformation came over them like I've never seen before. I tell you, they get on fire for God, they serve God, and many of them remain faithful until the day they die serving God. And many of you that are here this morning have done that through the years. But on the other hand, I've seen people make professions of faith, and all of a sudden it's kind of exciting and looks good and everything looks right, but then just you begin to kind of wane, just begin to kind of drop off, just don't seem to be quite as exciting as it used to be. Well, I believed that many of them, maybe, perhaps, I'm not a judge, but I do know you have to repent in order to go to heaven. Here's a crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees who came to John the Baptist and asked John to baptize them. But he refused. Matthew 3:8. Listen to this. He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I know some churches that do this. That's their prerogative. When a person comes and gets saved, they say, okay, we're going to pray with you and we'll watch you and whatever, and after 6 weeks, we'll baptize you. I believe if you get saved, I believe the Bible says when people got saved, they baptized them immediately. If you come forward this morning and tell me that you trusted Christ, you repented of your sin, listen, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to baptize you, and then that's going to be up to you and God. But yet we find John the Baptist came to a point, and he said, man, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, let me see it in your life before you demonstrate to the world that you've trusted Jesus Christ. The genuine test of repentance is fruit in your life. If you have an apple tree in your yard, you can watch the apples from year to year. But if it doesn't bear fruit, no doubt it's dead. Listen to what Jesus said about fruitless trees. Matthew 7:19-20. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by your fruits you shall know them. Now, friend, I'm not trying to dramatize this thing. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That's an illustration of a person being lost, thinking they were saved, and being cast into the lake of fire when the end of time comes and burning in hell forever and forever and forever. I've often said the greatest fear I've ever had in my life would be to burn or to drown. And I tell you, I can't imagine, even though it probably only lasts for a few seconds, it's got to be a terrible, terrible thing. But friend, that time of drowning and that time of burning is nothing compared to the burning that you'll do in eternity. if you never repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, I serve a merciful God, but there's no second chances once you leave this earth. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Understanding the truth that God has put before us. When a person really genuinely gets saved, read about a man that got saved and went home and he couldn't sleep because he knew he had stole something from a department store. He wrote him a letter and put it in $100 and he said, "Listen, I want you to know I got saved and born again." And he said, "I can't sleep at night." He said, "It bothers me. I want to make it right." He repented and he put $100 in that envelope and he said, "This should cover what I took." Friend, I'm going to tell you today, real repentance is a change in your heart. But when you continue going the same direction with no thought in your mind of doing things different, living different, being different, exemplifying different, then I really wonder if repentance has been part of your vocabulary. Repentance is salvation and a changed life. Paul said in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The verse, in essence, says that's what we have to do to appropriate repentance in our life. We turn from our sin before God. We look away in faith to Jesus Christ. And when that happens, salvation is always a result. I want to be honest with you, and I want you to be honest with your heart today as we come to the conclusion of the message. I'm not asking today, has there been a time in your life when you prayed and asked the Lord to save you? I do ask that from time to time. But I'm convinced maybe that's not the proper question. Has there been a time in your life when you've honestly prayed and repented of the sin in your life, resulting in a change? Change in your walk or in the way you do. Repentance alone will not save you. But repentance, without repentance, you cannot be saved. I was thinking about this. Many of you have flown on airplanes, and I remember the first time I flew on one. I was scared. I don't know why. I know, trust the Lord. Lo, I'm with you always. That's what the Bible said, you know. And I was saying, man, you know, why am I nervous? But I was nervous. And nobody told me nothing. And we made it up okay, and we made it down okay. And when that plane went to touch the runway, they did something that I didn't expect. They reversed the engines on that plane. And it made the awfulest roar and sound, and I thought the plane began to shake, and I just knew it was fixing to fall apart. And somebody said, "Don't worry about it." They do this all the time. And what I learned is that plane is going so fast when it comes in for landing that ultimately, if they don't reverse the engines on those planes, they would just go right on off the end of the runway and crash. So thank God they reverse their engines, right? But after they reverse their engine, there's a point to where they have to put it back into drive in order to get back to the gate, the place they need to be. Can you imagine something with all that weight going down the runway? And yet the only way to remove it is to revert or to stop is to reverse the engines. I tell you today, if you need to make a turn in the right direction, you need to reverse your engines. You need to repent of your sin, and you need to ask Jesus Christ to save you. I'm really burdened today that we don't see many people saved anymore. Whether you witness to them on the street, whether you preach to them in church, it seems to go in one ear and out the other. But friend, today, how tragic it would be. I went to the nursing home this week and we sang "When We All Get to Heaven." I tell you, I hope today that I can stand here to all of y'all and say, "Boy, what a joy when we all get to heaven." But I'm going to tell you something. If your loved ones haven't repented, they're not going to heaven. If you haven't repented, you're not going to heaven. And friend, I don't care who you are, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, preacher, choir member, usher, or who. The Bible says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'm simply saying today, It's a little bit more than just a prayer. It's a genuine change that comes into your life. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Can you sing that this morning? Has Jesus made a change in your heart? If you don't know today for sure that you're going to heaven, friend, it's just as simple as praying, but it's got to be a determination in your heart to repent of your sin and get saved by the grace of God. And I'm afraid many, many people have been misled by preachers. We made it so easy. Just pray this prayer right here and you're saved. I don't believe everybody that prays the prayer is saved. But I believe if you pray the prayer and you repent, you will be saved. And God will help you and bless you and lead you and guide you. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for speaking to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. But Lord, I pray today that you'd help us today to examine ourselves. How sad it would be today that anybody in this building would leave here without knowing they've been born again. Lord, there needs to be fruit. There needs to be repentance. There needs to be change. And Lord, you didn't put us here for our convenience. You put us here to serve you, to love you, to be faithful to you. Some folks have the idea that we're just on a giant party for the rest of our life and God just created all this for us. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we come today seeking those who are lost. And Lord, I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.